Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests for our, I believe, fourth episode. And today we are really, really excited because we have our first guest. You know, we've done the first three, just Father Thomas and myself. And today we have with us a very, very special guest and a friend of mine from my club at Revolution MMA in Toronto, Joanna Shama. And Joanna is a purple belt, but she is the World Masters IBJJF double gold medalist. She is a Euro IBJJF gold medalist, and she's also the IBJJF ranking second in the world for purple belts. So she's a big deal, and we're really, really happy to have her. Joanna, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So
yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father Thomas.
Yeah. Father Thomas up in Niverville, of course, because we're all still in quarantine, unfortunately. And when this airs, we hope that the quarantine is over.
Yeah.
it'll be maybe a month from now. But if it's not, yeah, we're definitely all feeling it now. But, you know, we were just talking earlier before we started recording about, you know, how we're all passing our time. And Father Thomas, what are you doing up in Niverville? You're doing kettlebells. What are you doing?
Well, basically, I spend my time doing jiu-jitsu with my wife, and then kettlebells. I spend a lot of time answering people's questions. You wouldn't believe how many people I have messages on Instagram and Messenger. People are asking me whether it's jiu-jitsu questions or kettlebell questions or faith-based questions, but I spend a lot of time in my day responding to people about these things. Other than that, just reading, studying ancient Greek like I always do, and trying to not get down about the situation. Trying to keep a positive mindset, which can be hard depending on the day of the week or how much time you spend listening to other negative people. Yeah,
which is like the most people on the internet right now, right?
So right now, yeah, people wanna give in to fear instead of hope. You know, it's so it can be disappointing, but. Other than that, that's what I just pass my time doing, those things. I feel like life's on, for me especially, is in limbo right now. You know, I have no parish. I'm not finished school. The graduation's on pause. I'm not training the way I would like to be. So, but I'm in I guess because I'm a priest and my wife is an essential service in Manitoba because she's a social worker. So we don't really have to worry about anything financially. So there's always blessings to be counted that way. So, yeah.
Nice. And Joanna, how are you buying your time?
I'm honestly enjoying it probably 90% of the time. And doing the same thing, really just training a lot every single day. We kind of have a plan with me and my son. And doing a lot of other fun stuff, you know, diving into a bit of cooking and being a little bit of a homemaker. but no, on the whole, definitely staying away from negativity and just really enjoying this time away. I really think that this time off is a blessing, and we're probably all going to look back on it and think, wow, I miss those days where I could literally sleep in and do wake up and do whatever I wanted for the whole day. I haven't been on Netflix. Don't even ask me about what shows are on there. I haven't caught anything. and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm loving this so much, is I feel like I'm really spending that quality time with the family, but also being productive in terms of my strength and conditioning training.
Sure. And what's up with everybody baking bread?
I haven't gone that route yet. Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Bread, it's a thing now, right? Like everybody I know is like, they're all becoming artisan bread makers. So, you know, just to kind of go back to our guest here, because we kind of touched base with everybody, Joanna, as I said, she is at She trains at my club in Toronto, which is Revolution MMA, and she is a purple belt. And we're really excited to have her on. She is Orthodox as well. And you don't find a lot of Orthodox people who are in jiu-jitsu these days. So whenever we find them, we got to like try to get them on the show, right? Because it's like we're a rare breed of...
I know. I think when you found out, you were pretty shocked.
I was excited, not shocked. Oh my God, another one. It's amazing. You seemed excited because you're the one who approached me. You're like, you're a priest, you said.
I know, because you never see that. Yeah. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, you never see. I was talking to Father Thomas. I'm like, you know, I didn't know of any Orthodox priests. And he told me about an Orthodox priest in Brazil.
Yep.
What's his name, Father Thomas?
I don't know his name.
I forget. I saw it online. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, so there's one other one. I'm sure there's more. But it's very rare.
All right. So, Joanna, I want to ask you some questions then, since I don't know you as well. I think I met you in person once, right? I believe so.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you could tell me about how you got into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
So I actually started at Rev. I actually probably just passed my 5-year anniversary. And it was my son that got me into it. We had signed him up into the Munchkin program at the time. And I was actually playing football, but about a couple months after watching him, I loved the drills that I saw they did with the Munchkin kids. And my season had just ended, and I thought this would be a great way for me to stay in shape in my off season before probably one of my last years of football. And so I just joined up with Rev for 3 months. It was like December, January, February, and then my rookie camp was going to start again. And I started in the boxing and the Muay Thai classes. And I remember standing at the window watching the jiu-jitsu guys wanting to get into that class, but there was no girls in the class. And one of the other owners had strongly recommended that I not do it because he said there was a high risk of injury with older people. So he pushed me into the over 40 class, which was good, but a lot of the guys were kind of older, out of shape, not really what I was looking for. And I remember standing at the window. There was like a window that separated the waiting room from the class. And Arthur was actually teaching the adult class after that. And I'd stand there and I'd watch them thinking, like, I just want to get into that class. And he actually came outside and he goes, why don't you just jump in? So it was the next week I jumped into that class and that was it. I was hooked after that. Yeah. I think I sported privates with Arthur right away after that. And I knew that was it. I was going to take this all the way. I hung up my football cleats and I was done with it. So
if it's not impolite to ask a lady, how old were you when you started?
When I started, it was just before I turned 43.
Oh, wow.
So yeah.
That's amazing.
So late to start a new sport. Definitely. But
yeah. I don't feel like that anymore.
I just had my 48th birthday.
Who are you?
I just had my 36th birthday the other week.
And in 2 days I have my 39th.
Oh, there you go.
So how do you
find once you started training, and then obviously you started, once you start training, then there's like a progression of how much of the volume of training you end up taking on. So how did you, and you have a family and children, right? Correct?
I do.
And a full-time job. So how do you balance all those things?
There is no balance. But the good thing is my husband is a strength and conditioning coach. He was a high-level tennis player and hockey player. So as a family, we were always very sports-minded. Yeah. So I had a lot of freedom from him in that respect. My husband has such a flexible schedule because he can really move his clients around. So he's usually the one that picks my son up from school, takes him to hockey practice or wrestling practice. I work the long hours, 6 days a week. And after work, I go straight to train. So we usually convene at home around 9:30 at night for second supper. But family life is like, was non-existent. Mm-hmm. So my quarantine has like been amazing for all of us to actually be home and doing things together as a family, as opposed to everybody kind of going off and doing things on their own. Mm-hmm. This has been great. But yeah, no, zero work-life balance before. And now zero work, huge life balance.
What's your, before quarantine, obviously, what is your training schedule like for jiu-jitsu?
I train every day. Jiu-jitsu, usually 5 days a week, but every day I'm doing strength, conditioning, or a combination of that. Like you mentioned, the kettlebells, I love kettlebell training. So a lot of my work will involve kettlebells as well.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, what about growing up? You're Orthodox from birth or from baptism as an infant, obviously, right? And whereas I'm not. So what can you tell me about that? And what is your ethnic Orthodox background?
So I'm actually Orthodox from my father's side. My father's Arabian. So there's, I guess, a small percentage of Christian Palestinians in Israel. My father came here to Canada. He had met my mom, who's Danish. But we ended up getting baptized, and they got married in the Greek Orthodox Church as well. So my mom was able to, she didn't convert, but I guess in the Greek Orthodox tradition, you can marry that way.
Yeah, if she's a Christian.
Yeah, because she's a Christian. So that's kind of where my background is from.
And you married an Orthodox guy too.
I did. So my husband is half Italian, half Ukrainian. And the Ukrainian side, his mother's side, is Greek Orthodox. So he was baptized Greek Orthodox. So we actually got married in the Greek Orthodox Church, which I thought was amazing, like that we could actually bring both of those paths together.
Nice. Okay. What about you have children? Like,
I have one. He's
11. Oh, 11. Okay. Well, that's good.
And he does jiu-jitsu as well, right? So
he did. And now we've switched him into wrestling. So hockey is probably his number one sport. And then wrestling is sort of like his secondary. It's a little bit more, I don't know if aggressive, it's a little bit more athletic from like in comparison. So the crossover into hockey, there was a lot more benefit in him being in the wrestling.
Sure. Yeah. Well, different kids are pulled to different things, right? So
exactly.
My son pulled me into jiu-jitsu as well, along with Father Thomas. But yeah, it was really the impetus was my son was asking for it for over a year. Finally did it. I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'll do it with him. You know, and that's what kind of started it. And it was a wonderful thing because it just, you know, it's something you do together to a certain degree as father and son, which bonds you. And then it also gives you a lot more motivation, right? To do it for your son, and your son wants to, you know, please your dad, and you work together, and it's really nice. So we found that it's been a really good experience so far.
So what about then throughout you've been training for 5 years. Have you ever had any injuries you've had to overcome?
It was probably early blue belt. It was early blue belt. I tore my shoulder really badly, and that actually took me out of competition for a while. I tore my other shoulder, but definitely not as badly, but shoulders are just, it's frustrating. They take such a long time to heal. But, you know, you stay with it. And by, I'd say my third stripe of blue belt, I was back competing again. But it was a good solid year of rehab before I could really get back on the mats. And even then, I come back in to just do some of the drills. Mm-hmm. But rolling was kind of out of the question. It's just too many unpredictable situations. So those would have been my biggest injuries that I've had.
Okay, well, that's not too many then for a older athlete as that
year. No, it's true.
No, I think the body adapts to it no matter what you're doing, you know.
And I think you have to be picky with your partners. So I started to be a lot smarter with who I rolled with. It's not even about size. It's more just about people. Some people are just, can I say spazzy? just being careful. I've been with some gentle giants that are just amazing to work with. And then you could be with smaller people that are just very kind of careless and reckless in their movements. And I always feel threatened. So I just try to avoid those ones, just being smarter with who I'm working with.
Sure. Yeah. And if I may jump in, like it's also, you know, BJJ is becoming much more popular for women as well. And so you're really championing that because at our club, now you have a class on Sundays, right? So it's the first all-female class, which is really exciting. And it's packed.
Amazing. Yeah, it's been amazing. And it's been amazing, I think, not just for our club, but for the community, because I can see a lot of other clubs are starting the all-girls class, and it's drawing more women into the program and leaving it open so that women from other gyms can actually come in and train at our facility too. I think that's what women are missing. You want people that are your size, that are closer to your ability, especially if you're looking to compete. It gives you a little bit more, just more bodies to work with that are relevant to developing your skill.
Sure. Yeah. Because yeah, you don't, like you said, if you're limited, and also it doesn't matter what people say, men and female, males and females, they're different, right? Different body types, different aggression, different, you know, just different ways that we move. Right. And, it doesn't help 100%. If you feel intimidated, or if you feel that you can't actually roll with somebody in the way that you would when you're doing competition without being afraid of getting hurt or, you know, like you said, carelessness, right? So Joanna, just to jump in a little bit, you know, you following up on a little bit on your background and how you got into it. We had a discussion a while back about, you know, your dad and the strong influence that he was, being, you know, of Arabian descent, being from the Middle East, being Orthodox, you know, coming from a background where most of the Christians in that area have been oppressed for most of their lives and for many, many centuries. So he had a kind of tough life, and, you know, raising you, and his children in a way that was very loving and very, very strong. And you told me a really nice story about, you know, something that he used to tell you, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's basically a recurring theme throughout my life. You know, exactly what you said. I think, you know, the background that he had lived a very tough life. It was like post-war. And there was a saying in Arabic, it's Halik Saba Yasaba, which means stay strong like the lion. And just throughout my life, it was repeated. It would be repeated in situations where you need to be brave. Like if I had to say speech in front of a group of people, it's, you know, that whole idea of face those challenges, the outcome doesn't matter. You just go forward, you know, with confidence, and whatever happens, happens. But just always face every challenge with bravery, and your results will always, the outcome will always be what you want in the end. And, you know, it's, I have a new competition gi that I'm having printed. I'm actually having a symbol of a lion put on it just in memory of him. But it's funny, since I started competing more internationally, I feel him with me, you know, more and more, especially before I step on the mats. It's like that, I get that extra power of confidence going out there, that everything that I've done and I've worked for to prepare myself for the tournament, all that's done. You just go out there and you do your best, and whatever happens, happens. And I feel like he's behind me. I can almost hear him say, Halik Sabi Yasab. It's that, just stay strong like the lion. You're going to go out there, you're going to do your best, and you're going to have the results that you're looking for.
Yeah, it takes, we were talking about this with Father Thomas like a few episodes ago. It's like, it takes a lot of guts to step out onto the mats. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're really talented or you're not, whether you're in good shape or you're not, like me, you know, it's it takes a lot of courage, because you don't know what's going to happen, right? And when you go to competition, which I've never done, and, you know, I ask a lot of questions now being a newbie, you know, and I ask about competition. It's like, you know, one day I'd like to do it, you know, one day I'd like to get involved in it. And a lot of people tell me, it's like, yeah, it can be terrifying. It can be terrifying because you don't know anybody there. Like, you know your own people, right? But you don't know who you're going to fight.
You don't know who you're going to fight. A lot of times I have no idea who my competition is. And it's funny, when I'm like, just even this past January when I was in Portugal for Euros, a lot of times you're not even traveling with your people from your home gym. So you're piggybacking with other people from other gyms. And, you know, I have to say one thing about that. I feel like Canadians, when we travel, even if you're not from the same gym, you travel as Canadians, you support each other like Canadians, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But you're a lot of times you're out there, you're on your own. You step on the mat, you're alone. So, you know, having that feeling that you're empowered by other things, like for myself, just feeling like my dad is behind me. It's not even just that the lion symbols empowerment. It's also almost like a protective symbol as well.
I think that's a beautiful story, you know, because you could have the opposite thing. Some people get really, I'm not going to say who, I know some people, when they compete, they get really nervous. It's the opposite. So someone once told me, who was a higher level guy, and he's like, one time, he has a performance anxiety, let's say, and he's like, I'm like, what do you mean, you? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, but how bad? He's like seeing my dead grandma bad. And it's, so it's like kind of the, an opposite story from you're talking about like an empowerment story, right? Of a presence. And he's dealing with the opposite thing. There's all kinds of people when you meet have different ways of approaching things or letting the nerves get to them. Sometimes even knowing who you're competing with. I've seen some people I know who are lower belts and they get too friendly with people. They find out who they're competing with, if it's brackets, and they're like, you go and you're buddy-buddy at tournaments, right? You don't want to like be mortal enemies because it's not like it's a fight or any like a bad type of fight. It's a competition, right? I learned that once from Rodrigo. There was at a tournament in Manitoba, and Rodrigo, he came over to, I was amongst some guys, and Rodrigo came over. When he didn't use the best language, he was like, I don't want you guys talking with these people, because you're like, what are you doing? Talk to them after. Right now, you know, it's like getting your head in the game, like you hear in other sports. You're here to do this, so we're going to do this, and after, you do whatever you want to do. So you always got to stay focused and not let your nerves get to you, which can be hard. One of the things I learned from George is really good with this, but his viewpoint is like, no one cares. You lost, no one cares. Like, no, he says it in a more interesting way as well. But yeah, it's like, takes the pressure off you, and then you can really focus. And he's like, no one's paying you to be there, right? Most people, there's a lot of people, I would say, at Toronto Beach Day are like semi-professional who do jiu-jitsu almost full time, but it's not the same way as like having a contract to perform at some of the other jiu-jitsu competitions. So it's like, it takes the pressure off you. The pressure is just with yourself, right? Because your teammates aren't going to be disappointed with you lose. Your teammates will be disappointed with you leading up to your competition, because they're going to know if you actually trained the way you should be training or not, right? They're going to tell you, like, why are you doing this? Why did you do that? But when the day comes, even if you trained horribly or you slacked off or things got to you, they're still going to be there and they're still going to be proud of you no matter what you did, because we're all doing the same thing. So it's just be positive and don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. 100%.
Well, coming to a close on our podcast today and our wonderful discussion we've been having with Joanna Shama, our guest, our first guest ever on this podcast, I wanted to ask you, Joanna, after the quarantine is over, what are your plans?
So my plans just before we went into quarantine was to compete at PANS and Master Worlds again in August. So as soon as we're back out there, I'm training as if I'm competing at the very first tournament that's going to be back. So as a purple belt, my goal is to get to number one. I'm still a long ways off. That number two spot is like at least two big tournaments where I have to do double gold at both of them to reach that number one spot. But that's my plans right now, is just, you know, one tournament at a time and just keep working hard and trying to improve my game and keep getting stronger and work on my speed. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm taking things right now. I can't wait to get back. I'm sure like everybody else, we're getting a little stir crazy for mat time.
Sure. And you, Father Thomas, you know, you're graduating now from seminary, so you're going to be done in Toronto. What's, I never even asked you this, you know, because your stint at Toronto BJJ is coming to an end.
Yeah, I'm still going to be under that team. Like my IBJJF membership's under that team, and that's where I'm ranked with everything.
Sure.
Because my life is going to be weird. I think I'm probably going to be shipped off by the bishop to New Brunswick.
Or somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll get a parish somewhere. So I'll just travel back and forth. Go see people.
Sure.
So.
And you can still continue doing competitions, obviously.
Yeah, I'll do that. And we'll see wherever I get sent, what the jiu-jitsu scene is like. I'll just bring everything I've learned from my team and everything I continue to learn from them there. So I don't know, maybe I'll just have to take some time instead of spending so much time in the mountains in the summer. I'll just take a week or two and hang out in Toronto when I have my time off.
Make it a jiu-jitsu vacation.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. But I just think it was really nice to hear your perspective today, Joanna, from you. I train with a lot of girls. I've always been one of those guys that's always trained with women and all different ages and shapes and sizes. And so I always like to hear the mental aspect of what it's like for women and adversity, overcoming it. And I think that story with your dad was a beautiful story as well. So just thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. I was really happy to be on here.
Yeah, we loved it. Hopefully you'll come back in the future, because it was an easy conversation to have.
Good.
You are our first guest, so maybe, you know, you won't be the last one, and hopefully not. But yeah, thank you very much. And of course I'll be seeing you when the club reopens. While the quarantine is still going, let's stay safe. We'll keep training, and at least as best we can. And for myself as a white belt, I just want to get back to learning. That's all. I don't have any other grand plans. I just want to get my son back into it as well, because he's getting a little antsy. And just get back to learning. But thank you very much again. And God bless you. And we will see each other soon.
Sounds Father good.
Thomas, Father Thomas, thank you very much again. Say hi to your wife, Ashley, in Niverville. And we'll see each other soon.
Sounds all right. Good.
Take care. Bye.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.